Welcome to the Fuller Market Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 9th of March, recording at 8:32 p.m. And what about the highlights here today? Well, in terms of stock markets, it was more of the same, really, with most markets drifting a bit lower and a few catching a bigger hit. The biggest hit that I'm aware of today was for the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, and that's because of weakness in HSBC prior to their rights issue. So that was down 4.84%. European stock markets pared back their losses, and a couple of them, including FTSE and DAX, actually closed slightly higher on the day. But that's because Wall Street was a little steadier at the time. But we had Wall Street closing not at its lows, but on the lower side of its range, down 1% to nearly 2% in the S&P to nearly 2% in the NASDAQ. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds were easier today. And whenever stock markets do not look as if they're really falling out of bed, they've tended to be a little bit soft recently. And the dollar is steady here again today. So we've got that US dollar index closing at 89. And no big moves in the currency markets here today. The softness of stock markets generally appears to have weighed on precious metals a little bit more. I know in the past that we have often seen them rally when stock markets have been weak, but also before that we've also seen them weaker when there was just a general sort of asset liquidation taking place. And I think that Wall Street's continued lead on the downside has spooked investors somewhat. So we're left with this situation where valuations on Wall Street aren't all that great because the economy is deteriorating so rapidly, and the same thing applies to a number of other stock markets around the world. And dividends look attractive, but then we know that we're getting far more dividend cuts, and we probably aren't getting any dividend increases right now. And P/E ratios often don't look that bad until the earnings actually come through, and of course they've been disappointing for quite some time. So we're still in this slough of despond. I'd love to be more cheerful about it, but one can't be, really, except to say that the stock market indices, which have been led lower by banking shares, of course, the stock market indices are looking increasingly overstretched. It's been a very orderly decline so far, no downward acceleration, very persistent decline, but on a short-term basis, if you look at short-term stochastics, and you can put those up in the chart library, there's a function for that. You see that we're in a short-term oversold condition, but we have not yet seen the catalyst for recovery. I think that there's no doubt that there are plenty of shorts in the market today, not least in the battered financial sector, and there's also plenty of cash on the sidelines held by institutional investors, but they're in no hurry to go running into the stock market at this stage. So we're in an environment where it looks like we may see the valuations become even better before we get a bear squeeze and any kind of meaningful technical rally. I don't think that's all that far off. But we just don't know what will happen. No one knows. What will happen is one day there'll be one of those all change days where we'll suddenly see some good upward dynamics on the charts, breaking these short-term downward trends, and then that will most likely signal at the onset of a technical rally, but I wouldn't myself want to try to guess where that or from what level or on what day that's actually going to occur. But I will emphasize that we are becoming more overextended on the downside, practically on a daily basis. The more stretched the market becomes on the downside, the more it is likely to bounce back when we do see that firmer tone. Meanwhile, the weaker stock markets are, the more that tends to keep the dollar steady. The weak currency, the currency I think that looks best in terms of shorting, is the Japanese yen. I've mentioned that on a number of occasions. A lot of us feel that the US dollar is going to be unable to sustain its current levels, but it's still very steady at the moment. So those of us who have established short positions, and mine's a small one, but it's an underwater short position because of this this dollar firmness, and I'm reluctant to increase it much further until or unless I see a break downwards. It's not such a big position that I need be pressured out by a small adverse move. And actually, what I would do if the dollar does start to weaken is I'd almost certainly use the baby steps technique because of the ranging activity that we all see so often in stock markets. In other words, as the dollar started to weaken and some of my positions began to move from small losses into profits, then I would take some of the small profits and look to play the range. That's a thumbnail description of the baby steps tactic, and of course there are notes on it in the forum. Precious metals, they're still in this consolidation phase. As long as gold doesn't close below 900, then I'm of the view that we've probably seen the low point for this correction. There is a risk that if the stock market decline accelerated, that it would drag the precious metals down further in a general sort of liquidation phase among all assets. And what else to mention here? Agricultural commodities a bit soft. Generally, sugar looks like a short to me. There is a backwardation, however, in the first two positions, which is a slight concern, suggesting that there's a little bit of a shortage there. But why sugar? Well, it's been a popular commodity over the last few months. It had seen quite a decent technical rally, and then that's broken down with a downward dynamic. And looks to me as if it could quite easily see a further setback. I may short sugar, but I may just sort of ride it out and watch this oversold stock market and hope to nibble at more precious metals. If I have to pick one asset class that I really, really like in here right now, well, it is the precious metals. That's a they're a crowded trade, as you know, but that's a problem for the short term, and I think it's already largely reflected in the price since we've seen these precious metals pull back from their highs. I think it was on the 20th of February that we briefly saw gold push above the $1,000 level, and I maintain that as the precious metal sector continues to grow in appeal among investors. Actually, it's a brand new asset class for a great many investors. That may sound bizarre since gold has been a monetary metal really since as long as there have been people around who could find the stuff. But gold was out of favor for a very, very long time until early in this decade, as you know. And But there's little doubt in my mind, given gold's performance, which is the best of just about any asset class this decade, that people who look at their traditional preferred investments, whether that's property, whether it's bonds, whether that's stock markets, and they're going to say, well, these aren't performing as well as I had hoped or expected, and they're underperforming gold. So I think the scope for really a long-term momentum play and also value play in the precious metals is there. And I would not want to be out of that sector, and I'm not, although in terms of my futures trading, my weighting will rise and fall. I tend to accumulate more on setbacks and lighten more following the better rallies, as you know. And I think that's pretty much it today. So I just say all the very best to all of you.